access or ability to influence elections. And I would make the case that Congress will not propose such a constitutional amendment unless it's forced to act. We know when we pass the typical resolutions to Congress, we suspect they may be filed in circular file. But if, under the U.S. Constitution, if 34 states would pass resolutions similar to this under Article 5 of the Constitution, Congress would be forced to act, in this case, either forced to act or to call a constitutional convention to act for them. The proposal, if 34 states were to do this, would be that Congress would have 6 months to do it on their own first. This is not an isolated concern. Last November, there were 100. We don't have yet a letter from several members of our congressional delegation basically saying they're not going to act unless they're pressed to do so by the states, which has happened in the U.S. Senators' direct election constitutional amendment. Something like 20 states passed similar resolutions, and Congress did choose to act at that time. Representative Rick Nolan has introduced such a constitutional amendment in Congress, but I think he would tell you that it's not going to happen unless they are forced to act. Be happy to stand for questions. I have a person who's willing to testify. I don't feel a need to call on him otherwise, but it was a Minnesotan who retired person who, with his brother, were so angered by the U.S. the Supreme Court ruling in Citizens United, they thought they wanted to raise awareness. He and his brother, both retirees, walked across the country that summer to raise awareness about it. I think this is something that has broad support from the public at large, people of all parties, and so on. Be happy to stand for questions, and I'd urge your support.
Any questions? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, the other day when you were in elections, unfortunately, I was out of the room, and I was unable to hear your presentation. So I just got two or three pretty short questions that I would like to ask you, and I will tell you before, excuse me, before I pose the questions, I will tell you that in concept I agree with you and would be supportive of this bill. The first question I have is on line 1.2, you talk about artificial entities such as corporations, limited liability companies, et cetera. In my world, that would be maybe more accurately defined as legal entities. Have you had any thought or discussion regarding the word legal entities rather than artificial entities?
Senator Money.
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, have not. I think they are obviously legal entities. Artificial, maybe the proper word would be human-created entities. I don't have strong feelings about it. They're all lawful or legal entities, but I suppose I'm open to looking at that word. I don't know if that's a magic. I don't know that artificial accomplishes what we're meaning to say is human-created entities, whether they're whatever they are, but any type of organization or whatever.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Marty, you know, I would just throw that out there. I'm not going to make any oral amendment or anything, but just think, because I think what you're trying to do is separate natural persons from other
things,
other entities. And when I think in terms of corporations, they aren't artificial. They do have legal rights and therefore are classified as legal entities. Second question then, in your opening remarks, you specifically mentioned that what you're trying to do is get at corporations and unions, or I'm assuming labor unions. But I noticed that unions are not mentioned in the list beginning at line 120. And I'm wondering, given the fact that what you're trying to do is separate out natural persons from artificial or legal entities, whether you would be amenable to an oral amendment after the word companies to either put in the word unions or labor unions.
Mr. Chair, I'd be open. I wonder as we go through this, and I appreciate, I mean, the first one, I think your point is very well taken on the word artificial is I'm not sure, legal or artificial, or I think another one, human created. I think it's worth figuring something like that out. I'm not sure we need to name any type of them, as you know, in when we're dealing with legislation, such as this and this and this. I mean, nonprofits, all sorts of, there are plenty of other types of entities. Because Citizens United was related to a corporate structure, that's why that was listed, but limited liability companies and so on. I'm open to what kind of wording we use there. I'd love to talk with you further about it, because I think the point is I used the word unions in this. Any type of human-created entity should not have constitutional rights. And that's the point of this, and let's keep talking about it.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this will be my last question. Senator Marty, and I appreciate your comments, Senator Marty, and the reason I brought up unions mm-hmm. is because I see the word corporations. If I didn't see... if I just saw, say, legal entities, then I maybe wouldn't bring up the question of unions, but it seems to me conspicuous in its absence. The last question that I would just ask you to comment on would be the lines 2.10 through 2.13. And my question is, Senator Marty, are you intending that the judiciary should not construe spending of money for purposes of the artificial entities, or are you talking about everybody, including natural persons? I mean, what is the context of subparagraph 6 and 7 as you
Senator
are proposing
Marty.
It?
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, in terms of that, money clearly has an impact on speech. The Supreme Court, I can give you a paper, maybe it was in the packets, I don't know, about how the Supreme Court in the Buckley case, they used beautiful, eloquent words to describe the importance of the First Amendment. It's the point is to make sure we have the widest, broadest, diverse set of ideas and so on put out there into the marketplace so people can choose how to move their government forward in the appropriate manner to accomplish what they feel is best. And Supreme Court rightly notes that money helps. If I have my voice and you have a megaphone, you're going to have more speech or it's going to be heard by more. If I have TV broadcast on my side, I've got more than you and so on. So money clearly has a relationship to it. But they have come to the point where they have interpreted that the spending of money cannot be regulated, cannot be restricted, because that is free speech. Part of the problem is, as you said, the artificial entities or the legal entities or the whatever we're calling them. The other part, though, is that even if I have billions of my own bucks to spend on my election and I'm running against you and you don't, that, you know, in the end... What I'd like to, and I'll give you, I'll send you something on this and be glad to talk further. The point of the First Amendment, I think the Supreme Court was dead on in the importance of it. What they didn't get is the fact that sometimes more money and the $6 billion that were spent on campaigns in the last couple of years don't get more information out there. I mean, to a certain point, more money may help get more and more speech out there. To a certain point, it's, well, turning people off. They stop listening because they're so sick of the same stupid ads. And in effect, the money is being used in a way that crushes the free speech, because if one side has a ton of money, the other side doesn't get hurt. Or if there are two sides in some things, well, there are often six sides of an issue, and two sides have the money, and those are the only perspectives that are heard. So drowning out others is one of the impacts of it. Candidates, I can talk to many who will say they don't even run for an office because they can't raise the money. Who wins the election? It's not always the one who spends the most, but you and I realize that the money does help. So in effect, what we're trying to do is say here that, you know, money does relate to it, but money should not be protected as speech here, which is what they've construed it as. It has a clear impact on it, but if we just say you can spend whatever you have in order to get your word out, then it's going against the Supreme Court's own wording in Buckley about what the point of the protecting the First Amendment and what the First Amendment's about.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman.
The short answer is, yes, it is your intent to include in this both the artificial entities and natural persons.
The short answer is yes. It does have an impact on speech, but I don't think that's the point.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Marty, quick clarification, if two-thirds of the state legislators ask for a constitutional convention, we have one, then they can address a number of proposed amendments, not just this amendment. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, if there was a constitutional convention, the argument this bill would say, if there was to be one, it would be limited to this. I don't want to see a constitutional convention. I don't think members of either party in Congress want to have one. That's why we explicitly say if two-thirds of the states would pass something like this, Congress has to pass an amendment or they'd have to do this. And since they don't want that, we wouldn't be going that way. I don't want a constitutional convention.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lemire.
On that point, Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, on the first page of your bill, you have the option of exercising a convention or through ratification. If you don't want to go toward a convention, would you be willing to take that one line out?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, in the first whereas we talk, that was simply describing what Article 5 of the Constitution says, namely that Congress, on the application of two-thirds of the states, shall call a convention. That's what the petition is. We have to say that that's the case. If you look the substantive point here in the be it resolved, the first one that's from page 1.6 on to page 2.14, that's saying we want you to pass a resolution. As you can see, legislature requests Congress to propose an amendment, and then on 2.14, the further resolve, if they do not propose it, we are petitioning under that second part in order to make it happen. And the third one is that if two-thirds of the states did apply for it, we would be asking Congress to, within 6 months, call for it so they have 6 months to do it anyway. The reality is it wouldn't get to 34 states. The U.S. Senate or direct election constitutional amendment, there are about 20 states petitioned. Congress said, okay, they're going to force us to do it eventually, and they did it. And that's what we want to do. They won't get to 34 states. We want to put pressure on Congress so they see they're going to have to do it because they will do it themselves. If their choice is to do it ourselves or turn it over to somebody else, I'm sure there might be a member of Congress somewhere who thinks the Constitutional Convention is a good idea, but I'll guarantee you won't find more than a handful in your party or ours who would like the idea. They'll do it themselves.
Any other discussion? Senator Metzen moves Senate file number 17 be recommended to pass. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no.
No.
Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Senator Newman, I'll get in touch with you about that.
Senator Cohen was the chair of the subcommittee on litigation that we formulated to deal with the legal expenses related to the recount in the 2012 general election. Senator Cohen, let's adopt the subcommittee report, and then we'll have a conversation about it.
I would so move.
Senator Cohen moves adoption of the subcommittee report from the Subcommittee on Legal Expenses. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Cohen, the committee report is now in front of the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the Litigation Subcommittee has three members, Senator Newman, Senator Wieger, myself as chair. And there was only one matter in front of it. That was the Dahl-Dudley recount. And members will recall that that was an election decided by under 100 votes so that the statutory authorizations for an automatic recount took place. We had the bills presented to us by the Rice Michaels Law Firm and the Jacobson Buffalo Law Firm, which handled the recounts. The committee asked a number of questions. There was testimony from both Mr. Rice and Mr. LeBeau. Mr. Rice is here. I don't pass him. I think there was general agreement that the bills were appropriate. Members will note there's a difference between the Rice-Michaels bill and the Jacobson-Buffalo bill. And part of that, I think, was explained to the subcommittee that Mr. LeBeau was involved with the House recount, the Franson recount, and so there was some duplication of effort, whereas the Rice Law Firm was involved only with the one. So I think there was some effort put into the by the LeBeau firm that was handled relative to the House. Mr. Senator Newman, I hope I'm not misstating that in terms of some of what we heard in the subcommittee. I would also indicate to members that there historically has been an effort in the Senate, a custom in the Senate, there where we do have recounts, and obviously then each party's candidate is subject to the recount, that we've paid both the Republican and the Democratic bills.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, Senator Cohen has accurately outlined a summary of the subcommittee, and I would urge, we had a thorough discussion. We talked to the attorneys who have submitted the bills, and I would urge members to adopt the committee sub-report, subcommittee report.
Senator Newman moves payment of the invoices as contained in the subcommittee report and the other conditions of the subcommittee report.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, just real briefly, Senator Cohen, did they indicate in that subcommittee that they're willing to sign this? Because Senator Bach was just saying with the other conditions, and there's a few conditions in here, release and so on, and was that indicated? I mean, you said the lawyers were present, so is it their intent to just sign these fairly quickly, or have they potentially?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fischbach, I'm not sure, but I've not heard any disagreement with that.
Senator Fischbach, maybe we'll have Senate counsel speak to that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fischbach, the subcommittee had before it the Senate Policy 4.10, which provides the terms for payment of these costs, and item 3 in that policy, which you have in your packet, specifies the conditions for payment, and I think the motion the subcommittee approved was to provide payment pursuant to the policy. I think the law firms involved are familiar with that.
Thank you.
On the Newman motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Rules Committee is adjourned.
Stop it, everyone.